getting ideas. Ain't nothing but a fool to live like this. Out all night, running wild. Woman sitting home with a month-old child. Dang me, dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me? One more. Just sitting around drinking with the rest of the guys. Six rounds bought and I bought five. Spent the groceries and half the rent, like $14.27. So dang me, dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me? One more. They say roses are red and violets are purple, and sugar's sweet and so is maple syrup. And I'm the seventh out of seven sons. My pappy was a pistol, I'm a son of a gun. I said, dang me, dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me?
All right, Roger Miller. That old rooster. I hope you enjoyed those two. Those are a couple of old country songs. Country was dynamite, if you ask me, back in the 60s. Now it's all about three things. What do they say? Cold beer, your truck, and is it Alabama football? Roll Tide! I don't know. It's really, I tell you, it's been a long weekend, guys. I had a couple 13-hour days. You ever try and talk for about, what was that? You know, it had to be about not 9 hours. 7 hours straight, you know? I've never, you know, you sometimes you have a professor or something, and they're, I talked all weekend, sorry, I need the water, you know? You think, how's that possible? But, I experienced some vocal strain this weekend. But now a new week, and a new week ahead of us it is. There's a pretty big event happening this Saturday, you know, guys. I love parades. Everybody loves a parade, you know. I'm actually leading a parade. You know, have you ever been at the front of a parade? You know, they're in front of everybody, and you know you're setting the pace. You can't walk too fast. You gotta stroll. You gotta make sure everybody's together. You know, you can't. There's no margin for error because, you know, you pick up the stepping too quickly and, you know, you lose the band. You can't even hear them. They drift out of distance. You got to have the band. The band! It's not a parade without a big brass band. But just being at the front of it, you know, the guy in charge. It's literally what the shirt says. I got a t-shirt, you know. Always like having a nice array of t-shirts, and you know, like that fella who gave me the compliment this morning, you know, you see a guy with a nice shirt, let him know. You know, I started doing that a few years ago. I was like, hey, you know, I like when people tell me I'm looking good, so why not return the favor out there, guys? Oh, it's people complimenting people. That's all it is. But yeah, this parade, it's developed, and we've done it quarterly, you know, along with the academic calendar, done it quarterly for about the last 2 years, and it's been a resounding success. You know, one of the finer parades. It's not it's not an annual parade. It's more of a, like I said, quarterly, and it's got a different rhythm, different feel, different pace. To be perfectly honest, basically what we do is we get six locations together, and. You guys have heard of a crawl, a pub crawl? Well, it's kind of like that, except with houses. Oh, it's this delightful exercise. You know, we do six of them in 6 hours, and it's kind of a frantic pace, really. You know, you get one place and you're all rushed. You make yourself comfortable, you know, a little bit. You're like, wow, this is not, you know, you walk into somebody else's homes. That's what really makes it go is the people who helped me put this parade on. But yeah, you walk in and you make yourself comfortable, and then you hear that air horn. Oh, that's, I got to be honest with you out there, guys. You know, nothing. That is probably one of my most. What's the word I'm looking for here? Let me pull out the old thesaurus. But the joy that it brings me, the smile it puts on people's faces. Well, you know, if you're not standing too close, when you sound an air horn, you know, perfectly, just, you know, the right amount of blast that was needed. Not too long, you know, not, you know, if you don't need to get everybody's attention, you know, right away, it's not urgent. You don't use the short blast, you know. Consult your bowling manual for that one, you know. Anybody who's been nautical knows that. So you do it, and that means we're off to the next house, you know. Get out there in front and, you know, lead them through the greater Lincoln Park neighborhood. We usually drift, you know, somewhere around from Armitage all the way up to Wrigleyville. It's interesting, you know, seeing 40 people walk together. You know, you don't really see that unless you're by a stadium or, you know, somewhere. Yeah, well, I guess I should say you don't see that in a residential area. You know, what the heck are all these people invading the neighborhood? But no, we're respectful. You know, I got a guy at the door, you know, making sure nobody's bringing any trash along and, you know, doing that stuff. It's a classy operation. It's a catered event, also. We've tried a few things, had a lot of success. You know, one time we got pot bellies and Brown's chicken. Whew. You ever have Brown's chicken? I mean, that it's, you know, other than maybe White Fence Farm, for all you Chicagoans who know your fried chicken, you know, we got Harold's. We have some of the best fried chicken, I think, in the country. You know, I haven't been to Texas. I've never been to Spain. But I love our chicken. Anyways, I'll get into chicken later. we had Portillo's, Italian beef, you know, if you ever in Chicago for more than, I'd say, 29 hours and you don't have a thin crust pizza and an Italian beef, you're not doing it right. you're just not doing it right. So this parade, you see, we have a theme. You know, that's one of the cool parts. Every different place we go is a different theme. You know, it could be All-American USA, or I think someone did one time Hockey Night at Kevin's place, and just some unique experience. Mardi Gras we had one time. We had a fiesta. This girl I know, Sarah McGuire, terrific cook, cooked us all up a bunch of tacos, a delightful buffet. We all wolfed that down. Tell everybody to put on a costume, come on out, and march in the parade. Our theme this time, yeah, get a load of this, guys. We're all gonna dress up like our middle school selves. You know what you were like back then, whether you wore Chuck Taylors or studded belts or Abercrombie, Ralph Lauren jean skirts. Oh, I'm excited to see some jean skirts for the first time since I was at the Luke Bryan concert. That's really the only place I see people wearing jean skirts anymore, is at a country music show. They used to be all the rage, you know, back in grammar school, as I call it. You may know it as middle school or grade school or primary school. I don't know. I got my Chuck Taylors ready. Yeah, I used to go through about a pair a year, and when they were done, you tie them together and you hoist them on the power lines. At least that's what we did. You know, and then you find out years later, wait, that sometimes that means something. You know, that it's a tip off to somebody from the neighborhood that, you know, something's nearby. It's a signal. It can be seen as a signal, but, you know, we kind of hung them up there as our Hall of Fame. You know, retired our old pairs of gym shoes. So, But yeah, we're all gonna turn back the clock and march through the greater Lincoln Park Lakeview area here on Saturday. It's also Vincentian Service Day at DePaul. St. Vinny's calling us out there to go out and do some good. I won't be serving. I oughta. I really oughta, but I got more business to take care of, Randy Bachman style. And working overtime, work out. Yeah, I have a lot of things to do with this house hop. You know, this is a demon of my own devising. It's my baby. I'm gonna have to pass on the reins to the party next year. Something I'm a little hesitant to do as I graduate. I matriculate from my collegiate years. What do you guys want to hear next? I don't know. What are you in the mood for this morning? You can give me a call. The studio line 773-325-7341. We're gonna talk to Steve Stone here in a minute. We're talking about parades right now, and I just tell you how excited to lead a parade this weekend. You know? So there's another guy who talks about parades. You heard it? I probably mentioned him before. Yeah, you heard of Gene Shepherd? He's one of my influences on the radio. You know, he's a guy who kind of does the thing I do, and you know, we're both you know, from Southside, and he remembers one specific Labor Day parade. I'm gonna play it for you here. Fantastic story, great imagery, Gene Shepherd.
And if one local was charging another local with flamethrowers, rot management, put them up to it. Let's get after that management. And they would go like that. There was a strange kind of peculiar double talk that went on like that. And so I remember on this one and the only Labor Day parade that I ever was involved in as a parader, I was drafted. The first thing they did was to say all the guys that are not married, who do not have any kids, got to march. Well, all right, that was that. So that took care of a lot of guys right then. Then they said, all guys over 6'7" are going to march. Well, that took another whole bunch of guys from the open hearth and the blast furnace. All guys that weigh over 300 pounds and eat cabbage and can't speak nothing are going to march. Well, that included a whole lot of other guys. Well, before the meeting was over, they had a phalanx that would make the Roman legions look like a Boy Scout troop from Passaic. I'll tell you, it was a phalanx. And it was truly a phalanx. And they told us how we were going to march. And they said, well, there's always going to be some wise guy. I don't know who's making up the line of march, but let me tell you this. There's always some wise guy, so better get ready for them plumbers. Well, so that's what happened. That day, the march was set up, and some of the groups had bands. And it all started out about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning, fairly peaceful. And we started to march, and there were thousands of people. Chicago is a natural-born parade-going city. Chicago loves parades, loves them, literally loves them. Nobody ever yells about parades there. They love a parade. So there are millions of people out there. Now, the reason they were out there, well, there were two reasons. One of them was that many of them were union members, you see, waiting for the trouble to start, and they could pitch in with their gang. The other was was people who just like fighting. They like to watch fighting, you see. Oh, yeah, they like to watch fighting. So, you know, it's just the way it is. And then there were a lot of innocent bystanders who, you know, there's a parade in Chicago on Labor Day, and they all come with the kids, and they stand around and eat Good Humor bars. Now, that's the crowd that was always getting in the way of the swingers. That crowd is hated by both sides. You know, they're always getting in the middle of a big pitched battle. Some guy's going along with three kids, you know, and some ice cream bars. And he's in the middle of the battle between the Steelworkers Structural Union and the Teamsters Local. And they're pitching it at each other. Well, we started out. It's about 8 o'clock in the morning. And everybody is lining. And it was one of those typical gusty, cold, early fall Chicago days, when there's little touches of rain in the air and you can feel it, it's a little cool, and it's just the kind of weather that brings a man to his full fighting force, you know? It's good football weather. It really makes a guy ready to swing. And so we're out there in the morning, it's about 8, 9 o'clock, and they come along with the scalding hot coffee. which the steel workers had provided for the troops. We were the troops. And they came along with this black coffee into which most of the guys from the blast furnace put their blast furnace juice, because they always said it was awful cold. And they start putting this stuff in there, and about 8:30, that's breakfast, too, after they have had 9 fried eggs at home, you know, and a half a pound of bread. So they're ready to go. And about 8:30 or 8:45, these guys are all lined up, and I'm in the middle of them all. And about half of them are on the muscle, just ready to fight. The other half are bagged and are already fighting each other. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Well, I was not a little kid, you see. I was a pretty big kid. And so I could handle my own, too. I'm pushing and hollering along with the rest. And about 9 o'clock, they don't march in step or anything like that. Remember this. This is just a great big snake dance all through Chicago. Somebody blows a whistle and yells, "Kyle, guys, get moving!" Somebody behind us, you know, somebody from the structural steel workers. And somebody turns, "Blow it off!" Well, you know, that's the way it started, like that. "Who are you talking to?" And the next thing you know, the two captains are belting it out, but we're moving. So we start moving down State Street. Well, the wind is getting colder, and it's getting gusty. And one band is about 9 miles ahead of us, and this band is playing something like Semper Fidelis. And another band behind us is playing like the National Emblem March. And these two bands are going along playing two different marches. And the band in between, this is an actual true story, the band in between, which was the plumbers or the electrical workers, cannot get going because of the two bands. Have you ever marched and the bands are always lousing each other up? Well, this band here, up ahead of us, starts to yell at the band ahead of it. And the band ahead of us is yelling at the band behind us. Everyone's, "Let's get together here!" Well, roughly about, I would say, about 12th Street and State, about 12th and State, it began to break out. People began to yell at the crowd on the side, and guys from the crowd began to throw eggs at these steel workers, a very bad tactical error. Because not only do steel workers, well, they enjoy, that's the thing that you got to understand. So an egg sailed out, went right past me, and hit a melter. Well, this guy turned around, and he says, "What are you doing, wise guy?" And he turns like that, and about 5 guys from the chipping dock turn, and you could see about 7 guys in the crowd throwing eggs. They're pelting eggs. Well, I forget the parade. They just cut right out, and they're in the crowd. You can see the crowd is fighting it out now. And we're slowly moving downtown as we go. You know, this is, you got to understand. And with that, somebody on the other side of the street throws a beer bottle in. A beer bottle comes sailing in. This is a Teamsters local. And you could hear one of the guys out, "Them damn Teamsters!" And you run like that. The word Teamsters was enough to make the steel workers go out of their skull. Just Teamsters, that's it, it's just Teamsters. Over they go, and there's about another fist fight now is going on the other side with about 25 guys. The police are coming up the street. The police are coming, and we are still slowly moving downtown, and the band is playing Semper Fidelis. And we are moving. With that, we keep going, and the crowd ahead of us, which was, I think, the structural steel workers. By the way, that was another tough union, as you can tell, just by the name of what they did. And they were always having trouble with the steel workers, which was another kind of local, you see. And you can see when the little jurisdictional disputes overlap, structural steel work, you can see it already, you know. Well, this crowd was kind of slowing up there, and they were waiting. Apparently, you know how these parades, without any warning, they'll stop? Well, the steel workers ran into the structural workers. And there was a lot of yelling. "Quit your shoving, Mac! Come on, shut up, will you? Hey, I can't go there up there. They're stopped in my head. Oh, get out." With that, there was a fight that started out between the structural steel workers and the steel workers. They began to slug it out. Well, I am in the middle. Have you ever been in a genuine gang fight, the kind that you see in the movies? The kind, you know, that John Wayne is always having. Remember with Wayne Morris, those guys are always having the big gang fight. Well, this gang fight started about 9 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning. The parade had just started out. They started to slug it out, and for over 2.5 blocks, right in the heart of Chicago, there is a fist fight that must have numbered at least 25,000 participants. They are slugging each other with everything they could grab their hands on. And you could hear windows breaking, people yelling and hollering. Of course, the crowd on the sideline love it. They're yelling and cheering, and they're getting into it. They're yelling and hollering. The cops are coming down and yelling, and they're hitting guys with the clubs, you know. And nobody is even paying any attention. After you've gotten hit by a crowbar four times, that little Billy, you know, is nothing. And they're hitting each other with crowbars and yelling and hollering. And you could hear coming from the far distance, you could hear the riot squad. And the sirens are coming, and we are still fighting it out. By 10:30, the fight has spread now, and it is over four blocks long. And then the fire department arrived with the hoses in the cold weather, and they are squirting all the workers assembled, all the workers, and there were big signs, you know, such like solidarity of the labor movement, you know, that kind of stuff. Workers march together to full unionization. Workers united. And I remember our union had as its symbol a great big clasped hand, two hands clasped. One said management, one said labor, you know, and under it, it said local 1010. And the guys were holding a sign up, hitting the guys in front with it, you know, popping them with the sign. And they're screaming and hollering. Well, about 12:30, I arrived back home. Wet to the skin, my shirt torn right off my back. A scratch that I still bear, by the way, the scar of. I still have a scar on my right hand from it. And my mother says, I heard about the parade on the radio. How was the parade? I said, it was the greatest parade Ma ever saw. The most fantastic parade. I can hardly wait for next year. Hardly wait for the next one.
I can't hardly wait either. Can't hardly wait. Reminds me of a film I saw. You know, the word I was looking for earlier, I had a second here to look it up in the old thesaurus. Exuberance. You know, pure joy. You know, buoyancy, effervescence, exuberancy, ebullience, friskiness, life, gayness, liveliness, brightliness, zest, abandon, ardor. So that's going to be the feeling on my face once I let that first air horn blast fly. But right now we have Steve Stone on the air for you. What's going on, Steve?
How's it going, Jake?
Good. How are you?
Thanks for having me on, man. How's it going?
Oh, terrific, terrific. So, Steve's a fellow DePaulian like myself. What's your major, Steve?
I'm a communications.
Yeah, communications. Does great great video work. I've seen seen a few of his projects, but he's going to be on the parade with me this weekend.
Yes, absolutely. And I like the last time we had that little parade, I was actually at the food house, which is just the holy, you know, pedestal.
Everybody stops to
feed
a
bunch
out.
Of hungry mouths. Exactly.
How was the cleanup for that? You know, you had 45 people march in with muddy shoes and then march right out, and they left in their wake. What, 9 empty pans of Italian beef?
Well, there's a little extra food left, so there's a little good, you know, payment. But, you know, not that bad of cleanup. Just, like, push a mouth through a house, you know, it's not so bad. You know. But it's always the worst, you know, you do this through the winter. Mm-hmm. You know, have a break through the winter, and then...
Oh, did I tell you the surprise I got for this Saturday, This will leak for anybody who's listening. Most people, I think, it'll take them by surprise. But those kazoos I was talking about last week, I got about 51 of them.
Oh, yeah?
So we're going to be marching, playing a tune. How do you think you're going to be able to get everybody together on the same note?
Yeah. You know, it's hard to, you know, get people together and, like, you know, figure out, how to get people through the houses and stuff like that.
Well, I'm just talking on the kazoos, you know, play the same tune. Or, you know, you got to think of songs that everybody will know, you know, like the Star Spangled Banner. Or, I don't know, if we could all do that Roger Miller song, that'd be pretty cool.
Right.
Oh, brother.
Good stuff. I'm really glad to be on the air. I'm actually taking my first podcast class right now.
Oh, yeah?
So, you know... This is a pretty hard job to do, like, a 1 minute or 3 minute recording of your voice, and then, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you're doing a short blast, you got to be pointed. You don't have enough time to afford, like I do, with these 2 hours to fill. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. 2 hours to fill, you know. put on some music, talk a little bit.
But you know, I think it's kind of a different art form. You know, there's poems, and then there's novels.
And there's the video and photography and other other mediums like that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Speaking of medium, what are you reading nowadays, Steve?
Spring break, I finished a couple of books. I'm on Angels and Demons right now. I've been on that for a little while.
Oh, what's that one about?
You got, your Dan Brown classic, symbolist, religious type of text.
Ah.
Really interesting. Of course, they made the movie and whatnot. But, Dan Brown's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody's got their authors.
Yep. What about, All Quiet on the Western Front? Ever been in that?
Oh, no. I was assigned to read it in high school, but I only read about three or four of those books.
I always heard that was the one book and movie that was supposed to be remade, but now they can't do it,
Why aren't they doing it?
Well, the whole adaptation of All Quiet on the Western Front, of course, it's like World War One.
Right, the trenches and the Gatling guns and all that.
Exactly. So they're trying to remake it for modern times and stuff like that, but
I don't think there's really been a World War One epic movie. World War Two.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like there, World War Two, lots of Vietnam movies.
Yeah.
I don't really see any World War Ones.
Hmm. Well,
which I think is a pretty interesting topic to get out to.
Oh yeah, if you could. Well, you're running out of people who are actually there. There's got to be maybe only a handful left.
Yeah, a couple. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it must have been fun back then in the teens. Not the war, obviously, but everything else.
Not actually in the trenches, but everything afterwards was pretty great.
I'm a big mustard guy, but that era might have turned me off to it, So, oof, Steve's got an extensive record collection. I'm a bit of a collector. I usually go for the dollar bin, but Steve's got a lot of the classics. He inherited. So
absolutely. Yes, just got my record player. Maybe a couple months later, I had a Jimi Hendrix vinyl or a Led Zeppelin vinyl.
Oh, the good stuff.
That was pretty much it. And then I come across my uncle one day who's moving to California. And he says, well, what are you going to do with all these records? I know the kids ain't playing them these days. And I says, no, that's not true. I'll take a look. And it's like, okay, here's eight boxes of about 500 different records.
Whoa!
So I took a couple of them to me at college, and I'm set.
Oh,
set
man.
For a while.
Yeah, I've borrowed a few from your library. There's some Al Stewart and Rod Stewart. All the classics. You got a few Chicago albums, I know.
Yeah, that's right. You got a couple of mine now.
That's the good stuff. You got any requests for me here, Steve? Right now?
I got a request. How about When the Time Comes by Tom Petty?
I don't think I'm familiar with that one. I've seen Tom Petty live.
I just picked that vinyl right now. It's off of You're Gonna Get It.
Huh. Yeah, we can definitely do that. Tom Petty's, there's really not a time where there isn't, where it isn't a good time for Tom Petty.
There is a place.
Oh, all right, Steve. Well, I'm gonna let you go and.
Thanks for having me on, Jake.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll see you soon. If not, we'll cross paths.
Well, I stay back.
That was Tom Petty, When the Time Comes. Good call, Steve. I can always go for some Tom Petty. I've seen him live once in concert. Me and a gang of friends got together and went out to the Tom Petty show. Guy plays a great show, really does, you know. I remember it perfectly. We were all, you know, this was about 5 years ago. We were all fresh college kids, sophomores, I think we were at the time. We all met up and we were dressed. We were dressed to the nines, really. You know, if you don't know what that means, I'll tell you. I got picked up a little book from my grandfather a few months ago. It's called The Cat's Pajamas. It explains, you know, all those old phrases you used to hear and what they mean. And Cat's Pajamas in and of itself, that's a wild one. You know, the Cat's Pajamas, the bee's knees, you know, that's the cool, that's the straight stuff, you know. Cat's Pajamas, you know where that came from? Apparently there was this tailor, you know, back in, I don't know, 1800, 1600, something like that, whose last name was Katz, and all the royalty of all the land, you know, Bavaria and the Spanish hills of Spain. Of course they're Spanish hills, they're in Spain. You know, France, they all went to this fella for pajamas, you know. He's the finest pajamist in all the land. You know, he gets the cuffs just right, nice buttons, silk, satin, you know. Those pajamas aren't cheap, you know, especially back in that day when, you know, people more or less slept naked. I think, I don't know, I wasn't there. Yeah, to have a nice set of satin jammies to go and slip into bed too, that'd be great. So this guy Katz was just the greatest seamstress, and everybody heard about him. You know, they tell their friends, you know, all those old royals, you know, their bloodlines are related, and you know, you got to see Dr. Katz. You know, he got an honorary doctorate from Taylor U. You know, speaking of Taylor. Tim the Tool Man. Cool man. No, not hold off on the Ghostbusters for a minute. We'll do plenty of that later. It's actually one of my favorite dances. You guys know how to do the Ghostbuster? It's not hard, you know. It's a dance that's so easy to do, you know. Even my little sister, she can do it too. That's what little Eva says when she does the loco motion. But those are one of my favorite theme songs, Home Improvement, the industrial sound. Oh, Tim. I don't think so, Tim. That was a great Halloween costume I had. I was Al, of course, this year. I've been blessed with the burden of bearing a beard, so I grew it out and wore dressed to the nines in my flannel. My roommate Joe, he's more of a clean-cut guy. He of course, played Tim, you know, with the tie and the tool belt and but they don't make TV theme songs like they used to. You know, there was much more going into them a while back, and you know, I don't know. Friends maybe was a good one, but the best one to come out in recent years, I think, is you guys know Doug Heffernan. Yeah, Kevin James. His movies aren't great, but you know what his lasting work is going to be. He's going to be fighting with Jerry Stiller on King of Queens.
Getting weary,
saving no ghost. Darn it, Ghostbusters. Ray Parker Jr. just won't leave me alone this morning. Sorry about that, guys. I'm still feeling out the board.
My eyes are getting weary. My back is getting tight. I'm sitting here in traffic on the Queensboro Bridge tonight. But I don't care, 'cause all I wanna do is cash my check and drive right home to you. 'Cause baby, all my life I will be driving home to you.
And yeah, you just heard the King of Queens theme song. That was Kenny Loggins. My eyes are getting weary, back is getting tight. This is Radio DePaul. You're listening to Jake Berent on the Polka Dot Crockpot. We're chatting for the next hour and a half or so. So, grab a cup of coffee. We're all in this together. You know, you can't forget that, guys. We are all in this together. Had a Muslim cab driver yesterday, and we saw eye to eye. You know, some of you out there, you think you may not know other cultures, but you just have to ask. You know, we had a wonderful conversation about the Quran. It's a book I'd like to read, see what it's all about. You know, there's so many people following this one book. You know, you kind of want to see what's in there, and what does he say that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John don't? You know. You know, it's the same stuff. We all stem from the same tree. You know, come on, guys. How many fingers you got? Well, I'm sorry that happened. Now you know not to play with knives. But most of us have 10. You know, 2 eyes, a nose, a feet, and we're all thankful for those gifts we've been given. Gotta give thanks, you know. And like I said, you see a guy wearing a nice shirt, you say, "Hey, pal, nice shirt. I like what you're doing. Keep it up." People complimenting people. That's the motto. Thad motto. Oh, college basketball. Yeah, I saw some great basketball over the weekend, guys. Really. This girl, Asia Durr, I think she's a sophomore. I think she was from a team out in Florida. Just lit it up. She was, you know, when she was playing, that's the court that at Bruno and Gino Auriemma and Duke's coach and Notre Dame's coach, Muffet McGraw, they were all watching her, and she lit it up. Ugh. Girls basketball, you know, and in my opinion, it's my favorite to watch of women's sports. And, you know, don't call in here calling me sexist. You know, I watch the girls sometimes. They play the game in softball. That's fun to watch. It's such a different game than baseball. The quick reaction, you know, you watch softball on TV, and it's kind of hard because the camera can't even react fast enough to how fast the ball is flying. You know, they go from the center field angle to the behind home plate angle to show you where the ball's going, and a lot of times it's already in the girl's glove. It's a quick game, and you got to respect those girls for playing. They're athletes. It's good stuff. Oh, brother. I need another breather, guys. I'm sorry. It's Monday morning. I'm planning on sleeping. A little jet lagged. As I mentioned earlier, I was in Virginia over the weekend. Beautiful part of the country. I'd love to go out there again, and I may get an opportunity to do so. As High School Cube, we've got the entire Elite Youth Basketball League series, boys and girls. And what they do is they rotate the sites and come together for a championship. And, you know, they play about every 3 weeks or so, and hopefully I'll get the call on the cube for some great action. Even the boys too. Yeah, you know, you heard of Jalen Brunson, that North Suburban shooter, still looking to commit somewhere. He's gonna be there. You know, there's gonna be a lot of top talent, you know. So it was a dynamo of a weekend. You know what, I'm gonna put on a record I have lifted from Steve's library. He's got a lot of good ones, and this is a fellow by the name of Al Stewart. You heard of him? Al Stewart. No, not Rod. I don't think they're cousins. You know, not like Dave Loggins and Kenny Loggins. The Loggins cousins. how they've never appeared on an episode of Gumball to Gumball, I'll never know. But yeah, I lifted this early years album from Al Stewart. He's a British pianist. What? I can still say pianist. Oh. Piano player. How about that? Don't shoot. I'm only the piano player. That's Elton John, not Al. But yeah, Al. He's he had some great early stuff, and this is, you know, an album side. And you know, these two songs, you know, he knew he had about 20 minutes, so he put them together and, you know, wrote this as to be listened as one album side. It's only got two songs. One of them's a 3-minute poppy tune, one of my favorites. It drives my roommate crazy. Joe, I'm sorry if you are listening, you get ready to listen to Al again. That's the name of the tune. You should have listened to Al. And I do. I quite frequently listen to Al. Not Al Borland, Al Stewart. Not Al McGuire, though. Al McGuire's his biography, if you've ever read it, it's dynamite, that old Marquette coach. He was truly an inspired guy. You know, he walked a different way than the rest of us, and he was just great for it. He had the marching, you know, to the beat of your own drum. And when that drum's in tune, man, can you play. Can you really well, you know. Speaking of you know, inspirational individuals, JP2, now a saint. All right, let's hear it for him. JP2, we love you. It was a chant we had back in high school. It's wonderful. I think it was Ethiopian. No, he wasn't Ethiopian. Where was any fellow kind of friars out there? I can't remember. I can't believe I'm blanking on the fact. But where was Father Joe from? Nigerian. Yeah, he was this wonderful Nigerian priest. You know, just had a heart of gold. You know, if he walked in and got a McDonald's, oh, he loved McDonald's. He loved McChicken especially. You know, he had that kind of accent, which was, you know, it wasn't. You know, sometimes you can't make fun of people for their accents, guys. I mean. Yeah, you can josh him, but it was just wonderfully simple. He loved McChicken, and you know, if he walked out of McDonald's and saw a homeless guy in the street next to him, he'd just give him the McChicken and keep walking. You know, truly a blessed individual. He loved John Paul too. He's met the man. Can you believe that? Wow, meeting the guy. You know, he said a mass in Grant Park. Must have been the 70s or the 80s. I think my old man was there. But he said mass in front of, you know, about 1 million people. He had more folks in that Grand Park than Obama did when he had his rally. Yeah, JP2, now I was saying, how about that? Anyways, how did I get off on that tangent? That was wild, weird stuff. All right. Al Stewart coming up for you. And you really should listen to Al. Really one of the great, like I said, piano players of our time. And this whole album side, Steve and I talked earlier about, you know, that being an art form. This second song is, you know, not a, you know, some songs are poems. This is, it takes up an entire sleeve cover to write out the lyrics. It's a real deep song. The guy goes through his entire history, his history with, you know, the first girl he laid eyes on that he had a grammar school crush on in third grade, and then he goes all the way, you know, to learning what it's really all about, that four-letter word, L-O-V-E. So give me a second here, and I'll cue up Al.
You think we're going downhill? And I would hate it to be run of the mill. Oh, love me or leave me, but please don't deceive me. For if you do, I'll know. Believe me, I want you to know. I don't want you to go anyway. And yes, I was doing all. Up until now, I'm beginning to think you should have listened to her.
up her things and said, let's be friends. For all the good and the bad things have their ends. Then she went lazily, leaving me crazily wandering lost. The night was hazy and everyone else looking sure of themselves but not me. Yes, I was doing all right up until now. I'm beginning to think you should have listened to her. Remember the first girl that I did love, it was Stephanie. In kindergarten arithmetic classes she used to sit next to me. I'd pass the sticky sweets under the table where the teacher couldn't see. Although she wouldn't remember me now, sometimes I wonder where she can be. I can remember the first girl I kissed, it was Christine, when I was 10. I'd been told we were moving away, I thought I'd never see her again. Oh, don't forget me, I'll be back when they let me. Before you learn how to lie when you're leaving, love is so much easier then. And at school, you believe 300 boys and no girls at all, but you're a fool. If you should leave, just think of the joys of rugby, football, and prep in the morning, and brow cream and acne, and cross-country running to kill evil thoughts. I'm surprised that I survived. I ran 10,000 miles with my back to the wall. I can remember the first girl that I made love to. It was in a park, in the lower pleasure gardens in Bournemouth in summer, just after dark. My mind was reeling, oh, what a feeling. I missed the bus and walked 12 miles home, and it really didn't seem far. And all through my 17th summer, running together from crowds and ties, taking our clothes off and feeling each other with fingers and senses and mouths and eyes, incurring the glances of old disapproval from elderly local inhabitants' eyes. Oh, time, time, we hardly even knew you. You didn't touch us with your lies. In halcyon days of my late adolescence, my girl seemed clearly in sight, playing electric guitar with the beat group. We set the ballrooms alight, camping it up for the dyed blonde receptionists who told us we were all right. Oh, an ego trip for a teenage superstar on 30 shillings a night. And so it fell that I came up to London to look for fortune and fame, starry-eyed in my seaside successes and much too sure of the game. First girl I met there, I thought I'd get there, but the first girl was nearly the last girl. She left my eyes in the drain. She sat on my floor in the dead of the night, rolling a joint and looking round for a light. Her clothes were so black and her face was so white. How could I know what was right? And I sat all huddled upon my bed, watching her in my innocence. But it was no sense at all, but too much sense that took me to the bridge of impotence. Oh, Otto's anthology lay spread on the floor, and the thoughts that she gave me I'd not met before. Unstranded, half hypnotized, I watched her in awe of everything that she stood for. And I wanted more than anything to be like her with every sense. But it was no sense at all, but too much sense that took me to the bridge of impotence. She came over to me and kissed me in play, taking my hand between her legs as she lay. And she looked in my eyes, but I turned them away, finding no words fit to say. And I hated myself, but could not move, shattered in my confidence. But it was no sense at all, but too much sense that took me to the bridge of impotence. Now the stare of the light bulb tore holes in my brain as she got up in the silence that hung like a stain. And I wanted to speak or to call out her name, but how could I begin to explain? And my prosecuting room still holds a strand of her hair in evidence. But it was no sense at all, but too much sense, that took me to the bridge of impotence. Oh, I still think about her when the night fills with rain, speaks in its voices uneasy and vain. And I think where I may be to find her again. Oh, I'd probably see her more plain. And I should have known she was just like me. It was after all common sense. But it was no sense at all, but too much sense, that took me to the bridge of impotence. But it was no sense at all, but too much sense, that took me to the bridge of impotence. First I didn't go out much at all, I just stayed at home in my chains, picking over the threads of my confidence and searching for the remains. And when I just couldn't stand any more of it, going down to a club, mixing in with the sounds and the crowds, I let the music cover me up. And only, lonely, the harlequins and painted phonies pick their ways through the haze of highs and lows and blues. And all that I could do was to pick my way to you, though I didn't tell you, you were just a thing to prove. I was hungry when I found you, but I'm all right now. They sigh, they lie, the refugees and superheroes on ice. Oh, so nice to see you. What's your name? And all that I could do was to say the same to you. Take you for the moment, though the moment wasn't true. But I was hungry when I found you, and I'm all right now.
Oh, that's a long one, huh, guys? All right. I'm going to fast forward this one to the end, but... Really, if you get a chance, Al Stewart, the song is Love Chronicles. I'll finish you off. You know, you gotta flip to the ending. You know, you can't just skip it right there. So we'll skip to the end ending here.
And stay for the whole weekend. Although the bed was so narrow, we had to sleep end to end. And so the weeks pass through my brain in that dadaistic chain. I find myself seeing you again and again and again. And all you gave it free, asking for nothing back from me. You gave yourself unselfishly as a part of me. And where I thought that just plucking the fruits of the bed was enough, it grew to be less like fucking and more like making love. Of all the girls I ever knew, some loved and some denied me. And all the words I ever said have been no use to hide me. And all the songs I ever sung, each one of them untied me. And all the girls I ever loved have left themselves inside.
That was Al Stewart with a long, long one. I even abbreviated that one, still ended up being about 14 minutes. Al Stewart is the name. Now, got a few folks here who have some discrepancy about some donuts this morning. I'm going to bring on two of my sisters, Becky and Steph. Steph's the eldest. You may have heard her last week. She's got two little kids and a third on the way, Logan and Rouse. We might hear from them, too. And then my other sister, Becky, she's the middle sister. So we'll bring him on here. What's going on, guys?
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Oh, you got some grievances there?
I do, Jake.
Oh, well, yeah. What'd you guys have for breakfast this morning? Huck Finn's Donuts, okay.
Number one. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people here. Becky only brought back 6 donuts.
What?
Hey, 2 kids equals 1 donut. 2 kids equals a whole donut. You have not seen them eat a donut.
Yeah, have you seen Rosalind eat? I'm grooming her.
Rosalind's birthday cake was the size of 2 donuts, and she ate it all herself.
Oh. And then what kind did she bring?
You didn't put your request in appropriately.
What kind of donuts did she bring?
There was an apricot and a blueberry Bismarck, a Boston cream, a vanilla Long John, a chocolate sprinkle, a vanilla sprinkle. What more do you want? That's variety.
Okay, yeah,
you
You got
to have at least half the be Bismarck.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you only went with 6, then you were short of Bismarck.
Half stuffed,
well,
half.
I got what your mother wanted. Let's blame her. And then you had to make her eat an apricot. Because I asked you what you wanted. You said Logan wants a chocolate sprinkle.
No, you asked me what the kids want for yourself.
You asked me what the kids want. I assumed that you were a seasoned donut picking professional. Like, I can send Jake to go get donuts, and he always comes back with the right donut.
That's my forte.
Well, we don't have the skills. All right, I'll run up to Duncan and get you something if it's
out.
Oh, not the same. Their Bismarcks are not the same.
Oof, yeah, just so much less quality. It's like food preserves, right? Stuffed into a donut. Yeah, they don't put any effort into them.
Exactly. Yeah. If I want a frosted donut, Dunkin' is fine.
Yeah, I'll do a lot.
I have the best maple this side of the Mississippi.
What about the other side?
Good, because I don't eat maple donuts. She also thought that I ate chocolate donuts. I do not like chocolate frosted donuts. She eats chocolate everything else. Brownies, pretzels, frosted donuts. I guess we've grown apart as we've aged.
Who's that? Is that Logan or Rosalind I hear?
That was Rosalind.
Oh, she's piping up.
She was happy with her sprinkled donut.
Oh.
There, I pleased one person. Good, Becky.
You can't please, what is it? Can't please all the people some of the time, or some of the people all the time.
All the time. Hey, you can't make a few omelets without cracking some eggs.
No.
Well, this egg has cracked.
So what's going on in this morning? What's Logan up to?
Hey Logan, do you want to weigh in on the donut discussion? Logan, tell Uncle Jake you can't donut yet.
And chocolate donut. Chocolate and
you had a vanilla sprinkle.
Vanilla sprinkles and.
Do you have a couple?
And chocolate too.
Chocolate too. All right.
Two.
What are you doing, Logan?
Logan, Uncle Jake,
probably watching cartoons. Aquanauts. Yeah. That's the big one on there. You ever see that one? It's not bad. Oh, things are a little restless over there in Westchester, it sounds like.
Hey, we're on the south side.
You're at Mom and Dad's. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Well, hey, newsman, hear any delays out of Midway yet?
I don't know. When are you flying out? This morning?
12:45.
Ooh, going back. Back to St. Louis. Hi. Is that Roz? To you too, Rosalind.
Is DePaul in the mood for a good old-fashioned key button fight?
Well, if you could figure out the Blue Danube, you know, dun 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 dun. Oh, that's not it. We'll figure it out by the time's end. We got the time. Did you hear the Roger Miller I played a little earlier? A friend called me about that. That reminds me, I got a kazoo for Logan next time I see him. I'm sure you're thrilled about that.
He likes his harmonica.
Oh, yeah, he likes
Logan, you want to play your harmonica?
Oh, that would be a treat.
Can you borrow Uncle Stanley's harmonica and play it?
Oh, let's find it.
Rosalind on backup vocals.
Oh, yeah.
She's auditioning. All right.
Hey, Logan. Playing the harp. He's only 3 years old.
Play it again. He's putting you on the radio. Oh.
Oh, you're listening live to the first ever performance of Logan McHugh, harmonizer, we'll just call him that, extraordinaire. Play it, Logan.
Yay.
Yeah, all right. I'll give you a round of applause here, kid. How do you get that good without even taking a lesson?
Pause only Eggsamon.
Oh, all right, Steph. Well, I'm going to take another break here in a second, so I'm going to let you go. But, thanks for talking. And as far as the winner of the donut debate, the ruling is, Becky, you should have gotten a dozen. And even just, you know, try to, hey, can you get a baker's dozen? It's rudimentary. You should know that.
Standard procedure.
We eat, and you know, leftover donuts, there's nothing finer than a donut at about 8:30.
Yeah, I got leftover White Castles for breakfast.
Always. Oh, all right, well, thanks for stopping by, guys.
All right, bye, Jake.
All right, we'll see you later. Oh, that's awful nice. I get to talk to my sister in the morning. Oh, man. They've made it. I had two sisters. Stephanie, she's a nuclear medical technician down at the Children's Memorial. She's got a couple kids, another one on the way. Living the dream, really, out in Westchester. And that Logan kid, he's going to be something. You heard him play. And that's only going to get better with age. My sister Becky, she lives down in St. Louis, which is a nice town. I like St. Louis. You know, it sometimes gets a bad rap. There's a lot of buildings that are boarded up, but it's not a bad neighborhood by any means, you know? It's quaintly shantified, if that makes any sense at all to you. I don't know if I'm still making sense. I've stopped making sense. The Talking Heads have. Saw them last week, a cover band. This must be the band. Great stuff, the Heads. This must be the place. They've made it. And this one goes out to them. Here is Mary Tyler.
Tyler Moore. Cue the hat toss.
Freeze.
That's one of the all-time theme songs. We're talking theme songs this morning. We've played a few of them for you. And now, you know, my obligatory commercial. I always pick fake commercials. I endorse a few things, but, I mean, you can tell what those are. Plockman's Mustard, Blatt's Beer, Barbasol Shaving Cream, Old Spice Deodorant, big Old Spice guy. Their commercials haven't been that great lately. They really scored with that that guy who changes shape, costume, whatever, beard, no beard. He was cool for a while. He had some swagger, as the kids like to say. But this is a commercial for minor league pitcher. Well, I guess he's a major league pitcher now, I believe. Scott Carroll.
He winds up for the pitch. And, oh, hey, sorry, I didn't see you there. I was just throwing out the winning pitch of the World Series. Hi, I'm Scott Carroll, pitcher for the Cincinnati. Well, being a professional baseball player is a dream come true. The pay is total crap. And that's why I'm doing endorsements. And I'll endorse anything! You tired of your competition striking you out? Fastball. Are your sales not able to hit that 1-2 curveball? Home run. Having celebrities endorse your business leads to instant success. I used to have trouble selling business things, but thanks to Scott Carroll, now I'm a billionaire. Really? Business thing? Are there celebrities turning down your offers because they don't believe in your business plan? Not me. Family restaurants. Shady cover businesses. Discreet adult services. If you have cash in a somewhat legitimate business, you could have an endorsement. I was about to lose my business, but now I'm the top businessman in the country. Thank you, Scott Carroll. No, thank you, completely different business person. Call today. Fastball. Home run.
That's a little commercial I caught this morning. Credit out there to Zach Crumlindy. For showing me that video this morning. The video's a lot better, guys. You ought to check it out. If you're on Facebook, go over to my page, Jake Berent, and you'll see the link there. Yeah, thanks for that one, Zach. Zach's gonna be a brother of mine, and come this August, he and my sister are getting married. Oh, it's gonna be a delightful time, another wedding. I've got my dancing shoes all polished up, and the shoes. Did I tell you guys about the shoes? Did that happen? No. I had another miracle with those cream colored shoes I found the other day. And man, these. I know which commandment is it about worshiping false idols, but these shoes, there's something mystical in them. You know, it's like when the Brady Bunch found that tiki on the Hawaiian island. Whoa, what strange things are happening. But you don't remove the tiki from the island. That's one thing you can't. You gotta respect this stuff, guys. These shoes. You guys been on the train in the loop, you know. It goes around in a circle, and there's corner stops, you know. And so I was on the train heading downtown, and I had a bag with me, a bag with some. My laptop in it. I don't know why, but I made a stop, and it was a short train ride. And I got off at Harold Washington Library. Okay, we're going
counterclockwise in the loop now. I'm on the brown line. So I got off at the Harold Washington Library stop. 5 seconds after I get off, I realize, oh, shit. I left my computer on the train in a bag. And that train just pulled out of the station. So I just hustle down the stairs, you know, that kind of frantic pace when you're, you know, just booking it straight for the other stop. I had to run through the intersection of Jackson and State there, you know, where they have that really wild, anybody can cross crosswalk, you know. It's not just you can cross, you know, one way or the other way. You can, you know, slant right across that thing. It's a legal J walk right there. I just start booking it. I don't even think I had the crosswalk, but I made a beeline for that next station, which as we go counterclockwise around the loop, that's going to be Adams and Wabash, I believe that's what that is. So I just start booking it. You know, I see the train. I'm trying to race it. You know, I was hoping that another train was coming by, so we'd get stopped at the junction. No luck. So I book it. I finally reach the. I'm underneath the tracks. You know, pigeons are eating the oats that are on the ground, and I'm running through, and they're clearing out, and it's, you know, a great sight. It's you know, I can see the train. It's pulling into the station, and oh shoot, no way I'm gonna lose my computer. If I don't catch it here, it's gonna be gone. There's no way. But I was wearing the magic shoes, and they guided my feet all the way to that other station, and I caught the train at the next stop. Unbelievable. I didn't think I had that in me, to be honest. You know, I'm no slouch by any means, but that was man versus vehicle, man versus two-ton vehicle. You know, I'm not ready to start pulling jumbo jets around, but CTA, well, their score's not zero. CTA 5, but now we got another. You know, I actually have two. You know, CTA 5, Jake 2. You know, CTA's done me. It hasn't done me wrong. The trains, you know, for the most part, run on time. If you're late, most people understand that it wasn't you, it was the train. You were there early enough. Or were you? But that reminds me of another fantastic, really, running story. This was when I was ready to graduate DePaul the first time around. It was a great ending for me when I graduated in 2012. I may have heard the graduation tale on the opening, the debut program of the Chili Pot, Polka Dot, Crock Pot, Chili Pot, After Spot, Take a Shot, here on Radio DePaul. So anyways, I got to turn in my last paper for my last class of my undergraduate career. It was a class, you know, they call it your senior capstone. You know, you kind of throw together everything you've learned over the last couple of months and stuff. You know, there's a final paper, you know, 10 pages. You got to, you know, all right, what's your plan? What are you going to do after school? How are you going to do it? You know, they're not sending us out there blind. DePaul does a good job of that. They're very involved with the students. You know, nobody goes out there blind. So I had to turn in my final paper. I stopped at the library. The paper was due at 5. I had class in the loop, and I live in Lincoln Park. So that's usually, you know, a 25-minute door-to-door from the library to the 14 East Jackson building where I had to turn the paper in. So I printed out the paper at the library, and I gave myself plenty of time. You know, it was due at 5 in the door. You know, that's what the teacher said, 5 at the door, and then you're done. So I left at 4 o'clock. And, you know, the teacher, she warned us the week before. She says, all right, no, don't trust public transportation. Get it in early. You know, some kids turn theirs in, you know, days early. Some of us like to, you know, we need the thrill of beating the deadline. So we wait. And I gave myself an hour, plenty of time. And so I walk out of the library, and then all of a sudden I hear sirens. And they're all racing towards Roy's Furniture, right there on Fullerton and Sheffield, just north of Fullerton. And Ray's, oh, it's a towering inferno. This had to be about three stories high. You know, Ray's Furniture just went up in flames. So I see that, and this was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday, mind you. You know, so this is just starting to be the rush period where everybody's going home and all that stuff. So I see Roy's up in flames. You know, I check my phone, check that Twitter, and it says, you know, CTA stopped. both ways, you know, from Fullerton all the way to even North and I don't even know if they were going to North and Clybourne. So luckily I had the right pair of shoes on, so I decided I'm going to rely on my own two legs, see how fast my feet can fly. And so I just took off running. I think it was about 4.5 miles from Lincoln Park to downtown. I was weaving through the neighborhoods. It was one of the most exhilarating experiences of my life, really. I had a deadline to beat. This was my last paper. This was 45% of my grade, and I just had disaster, you know. Roy's Furniture. Roy! Roy! I don't remember what the cause of that fire was, but it caused me some grief. So I took off running, and you know, I had my iPod and I had my paper in my hand, and luckily it was 14 pages, you know, so that wasn't blowing in the wind. You know, I still turned in a pretty good finished product. It did have a bit of a sweat stain, but I didn't have a towel. So, but I'm charging through the streets. You know, I'm weaving through Old Town, all those wonderful old buildings in Old Town. You know, running by the Water Tower place there on Michigan. You know, I cut through Blackhawk Street by where Cabrini Green used to stand, and you know, at that point, REO Speedwagon is coming in out of the headphones. Time for me to fly. Oh, and that I did. I rolled with the changes, so I made it down to 14 East Jackson from we'll call it Sheffield and Fullerton and Lincoln Park in 45 minutes. Got there at 4:45. I'm panting. I'm sweating, and I just can't believe I did it. You know, it was as if, you know, somebody was chasing me the whole time. You ever get that when you run? You know, I mean, you're running for survival. You're not out to exercise, out to recreate. You're running for your life. You know, it's like if a dog were chasing you. Thank God most dogs today are on leashes. That was a good piece of legislation. But yeah, you're running as if someone chases you. And so I thought about taking the stairs 14 floors up to my teacher's office, but decided to take the elevator. And I burst in through the door at 4:45. Here's my paper. Oh my goodness, Jacob! You look like you ran here. I did. What in the... Roy, fire. You know, I didn't even get a chance to stop for water on that journey. I didn't think it was possible to take that break for some water, you know. So I could use some water right now. I'm getting a little thirsty. I'm gonna go for a break. But my teacher, God bless you, you know. And it's funny, the last words of that paper that I recall. Like I said, it was a paper about what your next plan was, what your next move was. And I told my teacher that I plan on pursuing a broadcast career with a cavalier attitude and unbridled enthusiasm, with as much affability as I can possibly can, and I will prevail. And prevail I did. Beat the buzzer on that that paper. So we're going to throw it to a break. I'm going to put on a song here by The Band. You ever listen to The Band? The Band! So here's The Band. That's old Levi Helm. You know, they did backup for Bob Dylan. Nah, we'll save that one for later. This one's Arcadian Driftwood. It's a fine old song by The Band. So we'll play it for you here.
Take on loved ones forsaken, they didn't give a damn. Canadian cold front. Oh, Lynn, what a way to ride. Oh, what a way to go. Then some return to the motherland. Command had them cast away, and some stayed on to finish what they started. They never parted, they're just built that way. Repetition make a man want to leave the only home he's known. Sailed out of the Gulf, heading for St. Pierre. Nothing to declare, all we had was gone. Broke down along the coast, oh, but what hurt the most when the people there said, you better keep moving.
And that was Levi Helm and the band for you guys. They're, I think they're from north of the border. Oh, yeah. They talk about that Acadian driftwood. Arcadian? I don't know. I always butcher that lyrics. I often do. Hey there. Hi there. Hold on. We got another guest for you here. This is Aaron Jerian, a dear old friend of mine. What's going on, Aaron?
Hey there. Hi there. Hold there.
Oh, how you doing there, bud?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, terrific. Terrific. It's a sterling Monday morning. I know Aaron from my baseball days. We used to play Little League together.
We were actually, you're being pretty modest, we were B-team All-Stars. Oh. I don't know if you remember that.
We went to the tournaments, you know.
We went to the tournaments, not like, you know, the official ones, but we were there.
Oh, yeah, we played ball. We were a double play combo, weren't we, for a while?
Oh, yeah, you were short. I was just thinking, I'll tell you. Tell you the thing I remember that is that Nelly Fox glove you had.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys know those old baseball gloves, the ones that are, you know, just almost just as big as your hand, you know, small web. I had one of those gloves and turned a double play with it. That was one of the coolest feelings I've ever had.
It was phenomenal. I distinctly remember you being yelled at by, was it LJ's dad?
Cernak,
for using that thing in a game. And then you turn two with it. What's he going to say? You know what I mean?
Come on, yeah. I mean, my fielding was sound that day, you know.
It was. That was some good fun.
And when our fielding wasn't sound, we were on the bench together.
Oh, man. When we had a big lead.
Yeah, right. This one's out of reach, guys.
You know, we started a Canadian radio show.
Oh yeah, that's really where I got my first talk radio experience, was on the baseball bench. You know, it's lively, it's chatter. You know, you're watching the ball game, you're just relaxed.
That's right. We had some good mojo there, and we even had a couple guests.
Oh yeah, I remember it's somebody who worked with RC on one time. They were talking about the Cola Wars, and not as intense up there north, but you know, it's tough stuff down here.
Oh yeah, it was a lively time for radio, or lack thereof, I guess.
Yeah, but you know what's funny that thinking about today is one guy we never even touched on, and only until about a few years ago, is our guy Robert Clark Seeger.
God, how did we miss that? You know what I mean?
We were kids. We were young. We were, you know, 12 years old. Bob was still above us.
Oh, good time.
I don't know about you, but pardon?
Go ahead. No, please. No, you were going to say something
good. This is my show, and you're going to talk first.
All right. I was just going to ask, how's the radio business nowadays? How much has it changed? Back in our day, it wasn't too complicated. There weren't many palettes. You know what I mean? It was what it was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's diminishing, and I really do think that... you know, the radio stations that play music, they're going to be gone in about 10 years. You know, they can't survive. People, you know, rely too much on Pandora or, you know, their own iTunes. They play their own stuff.
It's killing them.
It's a shame, though, because, you know, I know you're a big fan of The Drive.
I love The Drive, but like I tell you, every time The Drive plays Pearl Jam, an angel loses their wings. The problem with radio today is they try to appeal to the masses, which I guess I understand. Is for the masses is your audience usually.
Uh-huh.
But you play the same darn songs over and over, and it gets sickening.
Oh, see, that's
I mean, give me some variety, and I'll tell you, Jake, I'm a big country western fan. I don't like to listen to the main country song station here in town because that's not country to me. That's pop country. It's rarely do you get the gems. They used to have...
It's manufactured. It's like a formula, these guys. Like I said earlier, all they talk about is their woman and cold beer and their pickup truck, maybe their dog.
You know, and I'm even okay with that because those were some of my favorite things, but the thing
right.
that really gets my goat is when they have these, like sound... You know, the sound does not come from the instruments.
Yeah, it's
it comes from like the computers and
it's
generated. It's like listening to Akon or something.
Or that electronic dance music those kids are into.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I guess I never will. Call me old fashioned. But speaking of, I'm real excited for Friday night. I'm going down to Indy.
Oh yeah?
Girlfriend's running a half marathon on Saturday, but on Friday night, David Allen Coe is playing a concert. $5.
Oh, was it at a local establishment somewhere down there?
In a local, the 8 Second Saloon down there. Not to plug it. I'm not plugging them or anything, but it's something I'm really looking forward to doing.
David Allen Coe. Yeah, I mean, I don't listen to too much country, but he's still doing some good stuff.
That's the. I tell you what, I looked a picture up of him. I looked up a picture of him. How about someone looks like they've been rode hard and put away wet? You know, but he's still out there doing it. Give the guy credit. He's up there on stage, so I'm real excited to hear it.
He's like Joe Walsh out there on stage, you know, just still doing it.
Oh, yeah.
His Maserati's still doing, what is it, 185?
185, yeah. Yeah, no, it's, I'm really looking forward to that, so.
Oh, brother. Man, hey, how about those White Sox? They didn't get a chance to catch the games over the weekend, but, that Abreu, man, does he swing a sweet stick.
Oh, you know, I've read a couple articles comparing him to Pujols, you know, and a lot of people are saying,
oh,
that's premature, you can't do that. But he, I think Pujols had the rookie record for, you know, RBIs in a March, April with like 27, and what Abreu get, 31, you know what I mean, with 10 dingers.
Oh, yeah, and we're only through like 25 games.
Yeah, he really, I mean, he's on pace for like 1,000 home runs, I think, statistically.
If my calculations are correct.
I'm not a math major, but, you know.
Oh, man. All right, I hate to do this to you, but we got to start wrapping things up in here. I gotta get to bed. I'm feeling a little jet lagged. I think I'll lay down for a while.
Yeah, you better catch some Z's, buddy.
But yeah, we'll have you back a little later. I think I got, I don't know if you had a request in mind, but I think I got something you'll enjoy. It's a song that, you know, it's more of a creed almost for us.
Okay, just please, no more Al Stewart.
No, okay, yeah, I know.
Breaker 1-9, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on
for you, Aaron.
Ben, come on.
We'll talk to you later.
Turn up. See you, Jake.
What?
See ya.
See ya. Nothing like an unclean goodbye. I always like to leave on a good goodbye. We'll start the convoy in a second. But, yeah, I'm still putzing around with the buttons here sometimes. You know, I'm still feeling out the keyboard. I'll get it right. But the song I was going to play for Aaron, and this will be the last song today from the Polka Dot Crockpot, is by C.W. McCall, a real trucker ballad. If you're on the road out there and you're listening, you see a toll booth, just listen to what CW tells you at the end. This has been the Polka Dot Crockpot. I'm Jake Berent, and we'll catch you next Monday. Thanks for stopping by.
Breaker 1-9, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben, come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown, come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
You want to back off them hogs? 10-4, about 5 miles or so. 10, roger, them hogs is getting intense up here.
By the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all. But there's a roadblock up on the Cloverleaf, and them bears was wall to wall. Yeah, them smokies as thick as bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air. I says, calling all trucks, this here's the duck. We about to go a-hunting bear.
Cause we got great big
a 10-9 on that, Big Ben. Negatory, Big Ben. You're still too close. Yeah, them hulk is starting to close up my sinuses. Mercy sakes, you better back off another 10.
Well, we rolled up Interstate 44 like a rocket sled on rails. We tore up all of our swindle sheets and left them setting on the scales. By the time we hit that shy town, them bears was getting smart. They'd brought up some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard. There's armored cars and tanks and jeeps and rigs of every size. Yeah, them chicken coops was full of bears and choppers filled the skies. Well, we shot the line, we went for broke with 1,000 screaming trucks and 11 long-haired friends of Jesus in a chartreuse microbus.
A rubber duck to a sodbuster. Come on there, yeah. 10-4 sodbuster. Listen, you want to put that microbus in behind that suicide jockey? Yeah, he's hauling dynamite and he needs all the help he can get.
Well, we laid a strip for the Jersey Shore and prepared to cross the line. I could see the bridge was lined with bears, but it didn't have a doggone dime. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck. We just ain't gonna pay no toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4.
Well, mercy sakes, good buddy, we're going to back on out here, so keep the bugs off your glass and the bears off your tail. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. This here's a rubber duck on the side.